Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit.
You are now rocking with the best.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
We are here back for another episode of the Art and BS Podcast, the podcast by artists, for artists, and art lovers. I am your host from the West Coast. Turn me down. Wait, hold up, man. Listen, let's get some housekeeping out the way. James Drills is the name. Y'all know what's popping. Shout out to the cats over on Apple holding us down. Hit us with that subscribe, the 5-star. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a review if you feeling froggy. Family over on Spotify holding us down. We appreciate you guys. Man, them Spotify stats was lit, man. Listen, they said we was in the top 10% of podcasts shared worldwide. Man, listen, you know what I'm saying? We might have been in the, we had another top kind of 15%. I forgot what the stat was. But yeah, shouts to the US, shouts to the Netherlands, shouts to the UK, shouts to Australia and Japan. Man, y'all listening, keep tuning in. Listeners on those miscellaneous apps, we see you. Announcements. Hold on, let's get some plugs out the way, because we got plugs, man. If you guys are in Fresno, California, and you need some quality ink, hit up Widow's Walk Tattoo. You guys tired of going into your homeboy's house, you know what I'm saying, smelling like cat pee, babies sitting around, you talking about finishing up your sleeve, hit up Widow's Walk Tattoo. You want an immaculate environment that looks like it could be an entomologist hideout? Hit up Widow's Walk Tattoo. Fantabulous artists, Jason and Laura Graham. You know what I'm saying? Get your custom flash art over there. Yeah, so tell them James sent you. Also, we will be closing out the Art and BS group show in Fresno, California on the 30th of this month. So if you are in Fresno, California, December 30th, slide through Fulton Street Coffee, the gallery. Man, it's lit. Get my beverages. I'm gonna work in some kind of music and all that, but man, I know what you guys are here for. You guys came. Y'all was like, wait, Martin's there? Wait, wait, hold on, wait, wait, wait. Chill. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know what I'm saying? Put that lemonade on ice. First time listeners, returning family members.
You saw me just get out of the whip. I mean, we here.
Ill nigga alert, ill nigga alert.
In the building, so. Just introduction to this man. I will tell you, I've actually had the pleasure of seeing this man's art. Actually, hold on, let's go to it, man. We actually showed in the same spot. Listen, first time showing in a museum. You know what I'm saying? Only other person with landscapes. This man. And I'm gonna tell you, Cape, you know, I paint like, some people would say I paint small, I say mid-size. This guy came through, and I don't even know if I had landscapes at that point. I think I had mostly still lifes and portraits. But he came with some landscapes, he was cooking. I was like, okay, I see how you, you know what I'm saying, refining that texture. I see how you scraping light across that asphalt, man.
Art and bullshit.
Serious, we might have to. Well, you know what I'm saying? We also going to talk about this brother's love for illustration, because he also, you know, is real proficient with the pencil. You know what I'm saying? He might be a Fresno State alumni, locally homegrown, not yet known. But, yo, we got him on the microphone. I want you guys to give a warm round of applause for Martin Townsend.
Thank you, thank you. Much appreciated. Thanks for having me. My first podcast, so really honored for it to be this one. This is cool.
That's Cap. He's capping. Well, he has a podcast with his wife. He's capping. Anyway, let's get to it. Y'all see, he started with Cap.
Yeah,
a man,
yeah.
And man, listen.
I'm an enigma.
wrapped in a riddle. So, Martin, the people want to know, what was your first memory seeing art?
Ooh, the first one that comes to mind was actually at my grandmother's house. My grandmother had this like tapestry that was up in her living room. It was like this freeway system, like a bunch of overpasses, like sort of like crisscrossing over each other. Mm. Lots of lights, and it was a night scene. It was very interesting, and like it was years ago, kind of hard to remember the whole thing.
Okay,
but. It stuck a lasting memory, and the main part was like I asked about it, and my grandma was like, "Oh yeah, that was your auntie. Your auntie made that." And I was like, "Oh, where? What?" Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. So we can just make art and people will just put that shit up. Okay, good to know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, that's hard. That's hard. Well, and you know what's interesting is that leads directly to the next question is the creative gene run in your family? So since we've already answered that question, I think we'll take a kind of a tour of this. So it was a tapestry, and it was because I'm already seeing like the correlation between your painting and landscapes and like that being like, whoa, you know what I'm saying? Like Auntie flipped the highways and interstates. Now, were these California kind of highways and interstates, or was
they? This was honestly, I don't know what it was in reference to because this was back when I lived in Memphis. So I was born and raised in Tennessee.
Shout out to Memphis, rest in peace, Young Flipper.
Yeah, it's sad. But yeah, like I was born and raised in Memphis, and I'm assuming that the overpass work was of Memphis, but like my memories of Memphis are so weird because it was like so, I lived in like a bubble there. It was like, all right, I'm at home, I'm at school, I'm at my grandma's house, right? Seeing family, or I'm at school and taking the bus everywhere. So I didn't really have a full picture because it was limited by like bus systems and seeing family and shit. But I've been back since being an adult, and it's like, I mean, since growing up and leaving, and in retrospect, yeah, it really feels like it was probably a lot of that overpass and highway systems and stuff. But yeah, it was interesting because my auntie that made it, like, I never really got to talk to her about it because she wasn't like in Memphis anymore. I don't think I've seen her since before I found out about that. So that was interesting. But yeah, loads of people in my family do the art thing. I know my cousin King, shout out King. He's like starting his own business. Like he won like an award recently for like innovative business in Memphis, something like that. I'm terrible with like titles and stuff, but he's doing his thing. Like it's pretty interesting. He's like got like his whole like online business. He's like doing shoes and clothes and prints and like personal portraits and shit. So it's like, okay, I'm out here watching James, I'm watching King, and it's like, okay, I can't be sitting on my hands all day.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is like, and we're getting we're moving fast, but I think the thing about art is we're human, and that's the human element. Sometimes we take breaks, you know, and we live life, and then we come back with new ideas to paint with.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not sitting on your hands. Maybe you're observing and taking in and getting ready to embark on another journey in your artistic career.
Yeah, that next thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really hope so. And like, I'm trying to like reframe my perspective about it and stuff like that. Cause it's not like I'm doing nothing. Like me and the wife, like we're trying to get our finances in order, trying to get a house. So it's like, okay, I got to do adult shit. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like I can't sit still like on some stuff. So I got really into Dungeons and Dragons. I've been playing that shit for the past like 10 plus years. It's a trip. And so like now I'm starting
like the card game.
No, so it's like a tabletop collaborative role play game.
Where you like the dungeon master.
Exactly. And, okay, exactly. Okay. So most
what's
of
your
my
character, what you be?
Well, actually this time, well, I'm in two. So right now I'm playing like a vampire artificer, which is like a dude that like makes magic items and stuff like that. And so that's my character in one campaign. And then I just started up another campaign just so I can get my wife into it and she can be like, oh, we're doing stuff together. So I made a campaign just for her to be in and have fun in, where she's playing a Leonin, like a cat person who's like on some mad villain shit, you know.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, mad so it's interesting. Nice. Yeah, so I'm having fun with it, but it's really interesting because when I talk about art and stuff like that, it's usually talking about like art is a conversation. It's like whatever you made, that's you starting that conversation or continuing an existing conversation and bringing it in front of someone else's face and trying to see like, okay, what are you bringing to the table? What is your response to this? Now that I've posed a question, what's your answer? Or now that I've posed a situation, what's your response? Like, how do you feel about that? And that's a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. It's like, okay, as a dungeon master, you can spend weeks or months going, okay, I'm gonna have my players in this tavern and then they're gonna fight some zombies. But they can pull some shit out of left field and go, you know what, nah, we're gonna teleport out of this bar, we're not filling drinks tonight, actually fuck this whole town, like these zombies can take over, I don't care. And it's like, all right, I gotta roll with it. Well, that, wow. That's a conversation too.
Okay,
so
is there a contingency for when the zombies take over?
Oh shit. Yeah, just let it happen and let them deal with the consequences. All right, yeah, zombies take over. All right, grandma and pop are gone too. Wait, what? Yeah, the bank is gone. Yeah, all your money is worthless. This is apocalypse. Have fun.
Oh, shit. Damn, shit killed them zombies.
Yeah, shoulda, coulda. So, yeah, just trying to take, like, very separate ideas and connect them to people and like make it interesting, which is like, that's what it comes down to. Like, you want your art to be interesting. You want people to engage with it, even if it's like dumb shit. Mm-hmm. If someone's engaging and having a conversation and it's meaningful to both of you guys, then hey, you succeeded on some level.
Right.
So trying to push that idea.
Right. And I think that's maybe the crux of, you know, my pursuit is looking for that, the feedback loop between the viewer and the artist, and putting the viewers in positions to actually, you know, not only see this artwork but hear interviews from the artist, so they can kind of get a better gauge on like why this is the way it is. Yeah. Or even through, you know, hearing, you know, these interviews, it's like, oh shit, like you kind of overcome some real stuff and you're still cooking, and okay, that makes me feel more apt to be able to overcome, because like people are more alike than we are different.
Yeah, and that's that's the cool part about art, is like I find, like, even in like my job, I find myself talking with people I don't necessarily agree with on like some fundamental stuff. But it's like, all right, you're still a person and we can still agree on some stuff. I can put some shit aside and be in the moment with you. And like, I saw like some dumb, I don't want to say it's dumb, but it was on Instagram, so I don't want to say like, oh, I was doing research the other day. But yeah, I was on Instagram and it was like some clip of Mr. Rogers, and someone was like interviewing him going, okay, so what's so something about you've impacted millions of kids and people in the world. Who are you most excited to have, like, what's the most cool part about that, or something along those lines? Mr. Rogers was like, yeah, that's all well and good, but I want to connect with the person that's directly in front of me. And that's what people forget sometimes. Mm-hmm. And like, it was where disagreements come out and people get nasty. And it's like, well, okay, you can do all that over the internet, but when you're in the gallery talking with someone about some art, or you're like confronted face to face with that art, like, you came out here to look at this, and you're looking at the physicality of this thing that someone spent time working on. You got to at some point go, okay, I put in the effort, the time, the gas money to come out here and look at this. You put in all of that plus whatever time and materials it took to make this. What does that mean? Like, does that mean anything to me? Like, did that resonate on some level? And hopefully it does. But if it didn't, then okay, that's a conversation to be had too. But right. I like what you said about the feedback loop, like, because I know people get into that like with politics and shit. Like, I'll like have to take a break every now and again, but then I'll hop back in, and then I'll find myself constantly going like, okay, what else though? Like, I learned what new political thing happened today. Like, oh, this Democratic person said this, this Republican person said this, yada, yada, yada. This is going on in the Ukraine. Like, okay, what next? Like, I just have to keep feeding myself. And why can't people do that with art too? And it's like, the reality is people do. And it's awesome that like, you're like, people like you're making avenues so that people can do that yes and moment, right? They can like continue on with that conversation even when they leave the gallery, or whether it be online or whatever, in person.
Right. Because I think that's the, but less about that, more about, we're about to get back to painting. So landscape painting, man. Now, you want to talk a little bit about, because we skipped a lot, and I'd like to get into this because, you know, it seems like, and you guys, we're on a real condensed time schedule. Gotcha. I'm just going to let you know right now, like, we have, like, this is going to be a short episode for y'all. We probably got, like, 45 minutes in the tuck for y'all, but I'm going to make it worth it. You know what I'm saying? We here for a good time, not for a long time, okay? So, real quick, you have a chance to host a dinner party or a spades game with five people. Artists, dead or alive, or just people. Usually I like to say five people dead or alive. We used to do artists, but then that kind of got, you know, real interesting. I just let everybody do what they want. But who would those five people be?
Okay. I don't know spades, so I'm going to say Dominoes. Okay. Dead or alive. Oh, man. This is so rough. Damn. Mm-hmm. You just threw me on the bus. I was looking at this artist, Ron Jackson, earlier today. His work's really interesting. I'd like to sit with him and chat with him a bit. I know, Kim Jong died.
Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, yeah. The GOAT.
Oh, my God.
The GOAT.
Man, just that dude. I found myself complaining in class one day, mm-hmm. and then I watched a video with him, and I was like, let me just shut the fuck up.
He's so good.
Put in some
He's
work.
So good, man.
Damn, that dude. I'm really struggling to think. Damn, and I'm terrible with names. Ghibli Studios guy.
Miyazaki,
yeah. I had a teacher that like worked with him a couple times, and she was like, he's super cool. But I was like a step removed. That was my chance. How many more I got? I got two more?
Yep.
Let's throw in Kehinde Wiley.
Okay.
These are all dudes.
It's hella niggas. It's like, man, cool. That was cool.
God, again, I'm terrible with names. And I feel bad. The black lady, she's a printmaker, also does like sculpture and shit. But she did like the really black and white damn, it's prints, of course. Oh my God. Why can't I remember
her
name?
Like what? Like current?
Current. She's okay. Living. She's a living mm-hmm. black printmaker. She's done some work of like caricatures of black people and like silhouetted works and someone's gonna toast me on the internet because I can't remember her name.
Yeah, man.
Goddamn. But
and I'm not really into printmaking culture, so
man, I want to say Walker or something. Oh man. Someone will get it. But yeah, her.
Okay, there we go. Bang. We're moving real fast. You mess with Chainsaw Man?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
How you feel about it?
Man, I loved it. I wish there was more to it. I got into Chainsaw Man after I binge read Berserk.
Okay.
And I was just like needed a hole filled of like just gore and mm-hmm. sadness and emotion and mm-hmm. just like shonen-ness. mm-hmm. So yeah, I really fucks with anime and manga and shit. So I really like Chainsaw Man. I just wish it was longer. That's been my main beef with it. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited the anime is out now though. That's dope.
It's not over though.
No, well, the manga? I thought the manga was over.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No,
oh.
It's still cracking. Hey, it went. Shit. Yeah, I don't know where's the last thing you saw?
Okay, the last bit I saw, man, did I not finish? I think I just got to a stopping point. Something with the I don't want to give spoilers, but with the Gun Devil.
Okay.
Like the identity of the Gun Devil.
Oh no, it went deeper than that.
Okay.
That was light. Like when it showed who the. Oh yeah, when he fought when.
Okay.
Right, it gets crazy.
All right.
It gets
crazy. Thank you. All right, I got something to look forward to now. So.
Yeah. It got crazy. I was like, okay, this is kind of weird but tight, but you know, there was one point after that it gets. It's like, okay, because there's a lot of questions up until that point, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, what's up with old girl, and you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
And all that, and they get to, you know, what she's on, and yeah, it's really an interesting story, like, when you kind of sum it up, and like, I don't know where they're going now, because like, they switched it all, I'm like, okay, what's about to happen next?
Oh man, I gotta catch back up.
Yeah, I've been on that One Piece heavy, I'm waiting for that to come back off
ooh,
break.
Ooh, okay, yeah, I did a deep One Piece dive for a minute. I got as far as right after right after they met Frankie, so like Luffy just got to fourth gear. I got to that part.
Wait, is that after time gear. Skip?
I think it was before a time skip.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. The story arc with the going Mary breaking and then getting a whole new ship, that whole thing.
You know, I like when people like, cause One Piece, it's a lot.
It's so much.
Right. But here's the key. You just like Google like one piece filler free guide, and then they'll tell you what to skip.
Yeah,
because some of that shit's trash. But like the real stuff is good.
Yeah,
like, after the whole yeah, because the going merry shit, Usopp, he
that you know hurt. What I'm saying? Oh yeah, my god, excite, but freaking Sniper King.
Yeah, I mean he was foul. I get it. He was foul. You know, I really had problems with him during that.
With Usopp, yeah, man, he was being a little bitch. It's like
he was.
Own up. You know what this is. Yeah. You need like these are the homies. Be real.
Yeah, but I get it.
The power of friendship.
Zorro proved to be like number one. I was like, okay,
right? Zorro's yeah, like, he's like, this is real business. Yeah. We're not playing around here.
Yeah, no.
So I was like, oh shit,
to go.
All right.
That's you got to go. Mm-hmm. Like Zorro's my favorite character out of Straw Hats.
Really? Okay.
Because it's like he's down to the death, right? And it's like, but you can't cross the captain. You know what I'm saying?
No, like there's a hierarchy.
And
here.
Then if you let that slide, I'm out. You
yeah,
know what I'm saying?
It's like there's no structure here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Zoro's here with a purpose. Yeah.
Shout outs.
Damn.
Oh man, we here holding it. Okay. Well, moving forward. That was good stuff. But yeah, I think it's a great One Piece is a great tale of like, cause for those who don't know. Because we have a lot of, you know, some people are in the anime, some people aren't. We're geeking out right now.
Normies.
And I'm appreciate it. It's always, you know what I'm saying, black dudes in anime, you know what I'm saying? We go hard, like Wu-Tang and Kung Fu flicks. Are you into Kung Fu movies?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay,
I did a whole series like the 36. I was trying to do a mashup with rap artists and scenes from... like the 36 chambers and shit like that. So like in my mind, I was like, okay, this art school shit, this is my 36 chamber. I gotta like get through each level and come up with my own style at the end. And I was like, all right, let's go. It was a terrible series, but I had fun and it was good.
You got some 5 Deadly Venoms in there?
Yeah. Oh man, their costume work was crazy. Like the fucking super fake beards and wigs and shit. Oh man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so top three kung fu movies. Where are your favorites?
I'm gonna start off with number one, which is gonna be Super Cop, Jackie Chan. It was one of his police story movies. I don't think it was his first one. It might have been his first one, but I think it was the first one that got an English dub, and it's like my first Jackie Chan movie right after Rush Hour. Actually, Rush Hour wasn't out yet. So yeah, this is my first Jackie Chan movie was Police Story, also known as Super Cop.
Not Rumble in the Bronx?
Not Rumble in the Bronx. I actually haven't seen that one all the way through. Yeah. I went super ass backwards. So like I'm really into Jackie Chan being a cop trying to do shit. And he has like a whole series. It's great. Like, so many.
And then there's one where he's like an old cop now.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like a continuation of the Police Story series.
Yeah.
It's like unofficial.
He old.
Oh, man. He was beating ass in that club. It was great. Oh, man. Had some real Liam Neeson vibes. I was like, yes, this is, I need more of this.
Okay, okay.
Railroad Tigers was whatever, but give me more Police Story. Super Cop, 36 Chambers. After that, I'm gonna have to say, Drunken Master. I love Jackie Chan.
Okay,
I love Jackie Chan.
One.
Yeah,
that's a good one. That's good. Drunken Master is a solid pick.
Yeah, man, those ballet moves—they're underrated. Mm-hmm. Underrated.
Shit, man. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I had a Jackie Chan phase. I was rocking with him real tough. You know, he was. He's that dude.
He's hard to beat, man. Like, fuck. He's still going. Like, he has, like, he trains, like, whole armies of stunt dudes. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Jesus, Jackie's a beast. That's a solid, I like how you have two Jackie Chan moves. You're a man after my own heart. Like, I fuck with you. You might be, like I said, dude, it's crazy. We have a lot of similarities.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
Well,
I know we were rocking on the Doom shit at first. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
all right, everybody likes Doom. It's like, you don't like Doom, that's a red flag.
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things where not everyone likes him, but I think that there's a...
He's like an artist sort of dude. Yeah, so it's like it says something when you're like, give me some Victor Vaughn. It's like, okay.
No, for sure.
I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I saw him in concert one time, Seattle, Washington.
Damn.
And it's interesting because I walked up to everybody in the concert who I thought was Doom and said, hey, man, are you Doom? because I want to like, know what he
does those
like.
He does those shows where like sometimes he doesn't even show up, right? Mm-hmm. Or he'll just do a punt fake. It's like, yeah, sorry, not gonna.
Oh
be
no,
here.
He would. And then Soul, you know, and at the when he got on, I was so intoxicated. I'm thinking back, I'm like, was that really Doom or was it an imposter limp syncing? Because I was like so messed up, I don't even remember. I was just happy there was like this dude on stage with a mask, and I remember him doing Hey, and it just it. Nah, that had to have been Doom because Hey hit different. He was there. Nah, that was he was there. That song.
It's part of the mystique, though, right? Like that's that artist persona where it's like, is this really? Yeah. Is this really you? Does it matter? Like. Does it? I don't know. It poses some interesting questions because, like, I did like some quick like Wikipedia research on Doom when I first found out about him, like in my Adult Swim days, fucking watching Aqua Teen. I was like who the fuck is this?
Aqua Teen on the Four Danger Doom album.
Yes, sir. Fucking did my wiki search and was like, okay, so like he totally like switched up his approach to the game after a minute. Like he went in sweet and innocent. Went through the shit and was like, okay, this is a hustle. I'm gonna go in like a villain, make my money, get out. All right. Okay. I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And the longer I do this art thing, it's like, hey, who? No one's mad at him for it. I'm like, right? Yeah. So.
And I mean, in the end, it's like you kind of got to do it. You got to play the villain. In order to get ahead in some degree, you're going to be a villain to somebody. You know what I'm saying? So as long as you can accept that, like help a bunch of people, but there's all you can help 30 people and you're still a villain to one person. So
true.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Shots MF Doom. RIP the GOAT.
Ugh.
Ugh. Man, that one hurt.
Yeah, man. Oh my goodness. I was thinking about him this Halloween. I was like, no, too soon. No masks this year. Just two more years.
that was crazy. I did a crazy Doom set after he left us. I probably played like 15, 20 minutes of Doom, man.
It was definitely on my... on my Spotify Wrapped.
I mean, definitely on the podcast. I was like, now y'all about to hear this.
There you go.
We're about to run through this Doom set. And let's talk about plein air painting. How'd you get into painting outdoors?
So in my painting class, so I was taking some, I learned like my formal painting skills from this dude, Kevin Stewart McGee over at Fresno City. Really awesome guy. Amazing teacher, and he was just pushing fundamentals left, right, center. And his approach to painting was like, okay, you guys don't need to draw. Some of you guys coming in here don't know how to draw, so let's just jump past that. And the best place to learn how to paint and not draw, like without really drawing, is looking at shapes and forms, and you can really get that from landscape shit. So most of his approach to teaching intro painting was like almost plein air, right? So they're like, he would like, hey, if you want to draw, you want to do your underdrawing to like help you like focus in, cool, do that if you want to. But if you can't, you can still pull this off without drawing skills. Like we were talking about this earlier, how if your drawing skills are trash, like it's only going to get you so far. Don't lean into it. But that doesn't mean you can't have a good painting. You just don't have a good drawing.
Right.
So I already knew how to draw, but I wanted to do something like drawing was too easy. Like that was my mind frame going into painting. It was like drawing's easy. I don't want to do that. I want to completely do something different. He's like, okay, here's a paintbrush. I was like, fuck that. Give me a knife. I was like, okay, yeah, let's go. Let's just smear shit, finger paint essentially. So anyways, he put me onto that, and just going out, I got like a little French easel, going out and testing stuff out. There's something really interesting about trying to capture a moment when it's clearly gone, right? Yeah. Like the moment that drew you to that spot initially is gone immediately. And you just spend the next hour or so just trying to chase that dragon. And hopefully something better comes along, but it's like a weird surfing thing. Like you gotta like find your moment, right? So sometimes you go to like a sketchy spot and it's like, all right, it doesn't look that good, but then the sun hits just right. And it's like, ooh, look at that stream of light. Fuck it, that's made it all worthwhile, this moment here. So that's what drew me initially to plein air.
That's hard. So now, were you taking plein air paintings and doing studies outdoors and then taking them into your studio and doing larger paintings? Yeah.
You know, I should have been, and like it was definitely brought to my like, hey, you should be capitalizing on these. But there's something I like. My drawing style is usually very sketchy, I do a lot of like making a lot of marks and then erasing marks and like cleaning up, like carving into it, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something about having an unfinished plein air painting that really like gives the impression, like just not impressionism, but you know, that the idea of the space and of that moment.
Right.
Like, how close can you get without getting into the fine details? Cause I don't mm-hmm. know about you, but I can't draw a tree. I can't paint a tree. There are too many leaves. There's mm-hmm. too much detail. Yeah. I like mm-hmm. get really in my head. Mm-hmm. And if you try to do it, if you try to capture all that detail, it's just not gonna work out.
Right. So, I feel the same way. It's like, let me just go for shapes and like value. Oh, it gets darker here. Does it get lighter there? Oh, okay, I need to punch that up a little bit.
Exactly. And find the part that you're actually interested in. Mm-hmm. And then that's the other part that I found interesting is like, oh, you can like force a viewer's eye in your painting. You don't have mm-hmm. to be a slave to what's in front of you, which is like, okay, that's awesome. Cause otherwise I could just take a photo and then that would be that. But I'm supposed to be bringing my own impression, my own interest into this conversation. And there's something about plein air that really does that. Cause it's like, oh, this is a place that, I did some plein air painting off of like Weber and stuff when they're still doing like major construction mm-hmm. and stuff. And, I was out there like for like like 2 weeks just doing paintings, plein air, and people would come by and be like, oh snap, that's crazy. And I'd be like, so do you like this area? And they're like, no, I don't like the looks of this, but I know this spot. I know that place. I drive by it every day mm-hmm. and it's interesting now. And it's like, yeah, right? Like this is just mm-hmm. stuff you try to ignore on your way home. But then once it's on a painting, it's like, oh yeah, that memory of that drive home. Like what was going through my mind that day? Did mm-hmm. I have a good day? Did I have a bad day? What's the future going to bring?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, having those conversations with people that live in the space, I think is the most like alluring thing about plein air, because mm-hmm. it's almost like mural work, like you're without having people tag your shit after.
Oh man, but yeah, I think that is, and I would have to agree, because I would say that I paint more I paint nature, but I notice a lot of my paintings are like storefronts, you know. And
I call that's nature, man.
Yeah,
like,
no. Yeah. It is. But like to kind of categorize, because when I hear nature, I think like Yosemite, you know. So and I do. I have paintings of Yosemite, and like the last painting that I did was like a small little painting, you know, of some. I went out there one time and did some plein air and took a bunch of pictures. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I like to paint my own references. So
okay,
it's like, okay,
nice.
Let me paint this. Cause you know, I didn't get a chance to when I was out there. So, but I think that when people see, you know, different paintings, it's always interesting to hear those stories, and the memories that they have attached to those environments, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And, I think that as artists doing things like that, it's wild, because you know, it's kind of like we're DJs and we're trying to like get people to dance, we're trying to get people to feel something, and
it's middle school, mm-hmm. everyone's on the wall, no one's mm-hmm. trying to get down.
Yeah, right. And then when we're able to like, you know, put the paint down to convey like this thing, because it's all just, you know, paint on a flat surface, but it looks like a building or a mm-hmm. mountain or, you know, a train yard, then people immediately I think that they're drawn into it, and it can be loose or it can be tight. It just is like, and sometimes the looser, the more, the better, because memories are kind of fuzzy. And that's why I like painting really loose with a lot of things, because I want my paintings to be like something you're trying to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like one of the things that I enjoy about landscapes and whatnot, or like more like loose works, is catching it in the periphery. So like when you're in a gallery and you're like just sort of do that quick shift, like that quick head turn, and it's not quite in the forefront of your brain, but your eye is catching it and it's setting a tone. And I'll like put my work up in my house, and like not really a lot of my portraiture, I don't really put those up for some reason. Mm-hmm. I think it's because of that. I like seeing that it's like almost like a window that you didn't realize was there for mm-hmm. a second. Which is kind of fun.
Okay, so I have to ask you a question. I asked a bunch of guests on here. Have you been to the Hagen Museum?
The Hagen Museum.
In Stockton?
I have not. Okay. So a lot of the work that you saw was of Stockton, like those, mm-hmm. some of those areas where it's like I was in Stockton, mm-hmm. and like just yeah. walking around. There was something really about that place. Yeah. It's really interesting.
It is. Next, I would suggest take your wife, go to the Hagen Museum, follow them on Instagram. They do like a family day every month. So it's like free on Monday or something.
Is it E-N or I-N?
I-N, H-A-G-G-I-N, okay? Just from, I mean, like we could talk portraiture, but just from landscape painting, mm-hmm. you will be so inspired. You get a chance to see like Albert Bierstadt paintings in person, and the paintings, like they're just breathtaking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's 2 hours away, bro. And the art that's there is, you know what I mean? It's phenomenal. You know what I mean? They have a Bouguereau there. They have some Jerome paintings there. They have like the largest collection of J.C. Lyon Decker paintings, like, okay. I don't know. I mean, like, it's crazy, but I would definitely encourage you just from the landscape part of their collection alone. You okay. know, it's lit.
All right, yeah, just follow them just now. I'll check that out.
Yeah, man, I'm working on putting together a proposal because the actually the CEO is my good friend. We had on the podcast, so we're working on doing a group show out there.
All right, chill, yeah.
Some shouts.
I still got peeps up north in Chico, so.
Shouts to Susan from the Hagen.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, I'm making my way up north every now and again. I got some homies still up in Chico.
Shout out to Chico. We got folks in Chico.
Yeah. Yeah, they're doing their art thing up there. It's really some of my last connections at Chico okay. State are graduating now. They just did their BFAs and stuff. They're kick-ass painters. Oh my okay. God! Yeah, so they're don't sleep on Chico.
Okay, we got to check out Chico. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. But yeah, so now are you a museum guy? Do you check out museums? Like, have you been to the Getty or Crocker?
Yeah. So when I travel, I try to check out the major museums, mm-hmm. especially when there's like big stuff going on. But personally, I really like going to like the smaller ones. Like I know I've been to the Crocker and the Getty, mm-hmm. but it's not very memorable okay. for some reason. But
like those Rembrandts?
Mm-hmm. yeah, it was Rembrandt. Mm-hmm. It's Rembrandt. Like, I want to see someone, like, who's new, right? Mm-hmm. Who's someone I might have to run into and talk about their work, that sort of thing.
my thing, Martin, is I think because I never went to museums as a kid. Like, same. The first time I went to a museum was, like, in my 30s.
Oh, shit.
So it's like, oh, shit, let me see all this stuff in real life. That's mm-hmm. kind of like, so I feel like I'm going backwards, you know, like, trying to catch up to see, like, oh, okay, this is, because, you know, I lived in Indianapolis for some years. I didn't know they had a Rembrandt at the IMA. And he's, like, one of my favorite painters. Just, man, it's Rembrandt, right? But I didn't know. And then it's just like when I finally found out, I went back and then they're like, oh, it's on loan. It's in London right now or like China or someplace weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck. So, you know, I got to see some dope paintings there, but there was no Rembrandt. So, I need to go back. And so next month, I'll be in Indianapolis, y'all. Pull up. You know what I'm saying?
Rembrandt
I
didn't
even talk about that. Hold on. Can we? Hey, this is your interview. But next month, that should have been in the announcement segment. I'll be in Indianapolis. I think it's the 14th, the second Saturday, and I'll have my solo show at Hoi Polloi Gallery. Hold on, wait.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we here. Tapped in like a tourniquet, you know what I'm saying? But less about me, more about Martin. Let's get to it. So, now talk about your drawing practice. Like, are you, like, drawing landscapes? Are you drawing, like, just anime, manga? Are you drawing portraits? Like, where you usually get into?
So, for my drawings, I'm usually doing portraits and stuff. Mm-hmm. Most of my, like, art career, most of my time, like, doing art, I've been drawing. And it's mostly been people. So, like, landscapes and painting, that's all new to me, and it's fun, and it's different. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes I just feel like I'm just kicking back, having fun when I'm, it just feels like doodling sometimes, mm-hmm. but it is fun. I hit up the like drawing nights and shit in town and break out my Prismacolor, not Prismacolors, those chalk pastels, what are those called? Are they Prismacolors? Those like, you know what I'm talking about? Those chalk pastels?
Mm-hmm. They are.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
they sure are.
But yeah, I'm just derping right now. Yeah, it's mostly people. I don't do a whole lot of landscapes, but I haven't really been doing a lot of it. But the last time I did, it was for, I was attending summer arts, and it was for drawing outside of the box course. And it was just like, get out of your comfort zone, do some different shit drawing, like expand your mind as to what a drawing is. And I didn't go too crazy, but I did start like working like with graphite and charcoal on like regular paper, disturbing the surface, bringing in vellum and Duralar, drawing on the back of that and
talk
going
to them.
Yeah, like messing with the edges and shit. So like not just going with like, I think I did like a big profile of myself. So I was doing like a self-portrait where I like merged myself with this environment, and I was like really interested in not abandoned spaces, but like those factory spaces you see when you're like on the highway and shit. So like sort of
super industrial.
Yes, and like inserting myself metaphorically into the space, or I guess literally into the space, as a way to explore it and talk about it, and like talk about myself, I guess. I don't know, but having fun with it. And it was very interesting, very cool. I won an award. Still haven't gotten my work back. Summer Arts, waiting for my work. Whenever you're ready. Man.
They probably put it in there, like displayed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that was like in 2019, and they sent me an email last year. They're like, okay, we're sending it back now. All right, I'm waiting.
Well, yeah, you might have to make a call, man. You might have to send an email. Squeaky wheel gets the oil.
That's true. That's true. This is the start. My email's coming in a few minutes.
Hey, I'm telling you, that's how you're going to get it. You know, my whole thing, bro, is like I was just sending my contact sheet out. Like, yo, if you know about any shows, buy my mind. Then, like, hey, all right, yeah, man, what's up?
All right. Just do the cold call work. Yeah. I shouldn't be so afraid of doing that.
Because the thing is if you have like 12 solid images on like a PDF and you're emailing it to galleries, somebody is going to bite.
Somebody.
And especially if like you meet the person, like, because my whole thing is I'm never coming in telling like, oh, hey, here, look at my art. I'm coming in talking. And then if they ask, I'll show it to them. But I ask for their information. And then, hey, it was great to meet you. Bang.
But add it to the contact list. Okay, that's smart.
And then they're like, oh, okay, oh, wait, this is, all right, cool, yeah. All
right. All right, so I'll jot that one down. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's I mean, because the thing is it's all in, there is like the part of like your work getting in a place, but I think you seeing somebody face-to-face and building that rapport and then following up with like, hey, here's my, because like, when it's sitting in their email and they can forward it out to people, it's just like, you know, that's different than a conversation and them looking at it on their phone or on your phone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this person's serious. Mm-hmm. Like,
and like actually, when it's on the phone, they can do a little bit of research real quick and be like, oh, okay. And have their real response. I feel like people, like, I think we were talking about that earlier. People get intimidated by artists, especially in the space where their art is, and they don't want to say anything bad or like really, they're really hedging their feelings. But when you're at home on your phone, this
is whatever.
I don't know,
though, man. Like, I've heard, like, Broadway Studios artists get, like, pretty beat down.
Really?
Like, people come in and, yeah.
Oh,
people
shit,
would, like,
really?
Be all depressed after art hop
oh,
and
damn.
Stuff.
Maybe I need
and,
to go
like,
back.
And I would be like, dang, bro. Like, you
I need
know
some
saying?
Of that abuse. I, don't,
was,
I miss
but
it.
I think it. But it also, there's a, I think that it comes at certain, there's certain tiers and certain things you have to experience with, like, what's in your toolkit. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And how can I say this? If you don't have certain things in your toolkit, you might experience a certain reaction. Or if you're going a certain direction in your work, you might experience a certain reaction. Mm. But I think, and if you're, yeah, like, if you are, I'm, you know, everybody on the pod, all the podcast listeners is like, James, they see what I'm trying to do right now. Because it's, I mean, fundamentals are important, you know, and like once you have fundamentals, I feel like there's a, and you can convey like, hey, this is this thing, then
you got options.
People have, people are more receptive when like the thing is, it looks like what you're trying to convey, you know, whereas if the thing doesn't, and not to say if you are trying to draw a can of Arizona, like you can't distort it, but I think what people are looking for is to be able to resonate with the image in front of them. So like,
if people really wonder, like, mm-hmm. if it's an abstract can of Arizona, they're like, okay, nice. Now, can you do it regular? Mm-hmm. Can you, or mm-hmm. is this the limit of your abilities? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that really, like, sets a bad taste in some people's mouths. And mm-hmm. like some people, like straight up, I've gone to school with some people that were like, yeah, I'm just not interested in representing reality the way it is. I just mm-hmm. want to do my impression of it. And it's like, okay, that's all right. That's the way to go. But you really need to be ready to have that mm-hmm. conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it is interesting. So I think that I never got negative feedback for my work. I would say that it's more boring than anything, right?
In what way?
I would say that much is boring. Like, there's no, like, I paint these, like, you know, dark, lonely things. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And it's just like, okay.
It's not, like, conceptually, like, heavy?
Well, the totality of my work, like, when you kind of understand what I'm doing, then it's like, holy shit. But, like, still life painting isn't, I mean, it's not a big booty girl. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, if you paint, like, a painting of a big booty girl, right? Like, you get a bigger reception. Like,
yeah.
So
yeah.
when I did that, like, it's like, okay, boom. But then you paint, like,
all of a sudden ask why. And it's like, okay, you didn't ask why with a big booty girl.
But, yeah, you know, or it's like you paint. I think that it's interesting, though, because I get these weird reactions of people making connections, because it's a lot of, like, I paint a lot of things there in kitchens and mm-hmm. stuff. So it's like, hey, that's my grandmother's pan, or like my mom has that rice cooker, or, right. you know, those sort of things, are like, you know, the cup of noodles, or, you know, people love, like, every time I paint a cup of noodles, people.
It's like intimate memories, because mm-hmm. it feels like people feel like, oh, this is my own thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, you had that
yeah.
too.
I thought that was like, just me. No, that's because that's the only thing I had to eat, and I just painted it because it's like niggas was broke, and like yeah. that's like, no, you know what I'm saying?
It's that mundane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I think we are more alike than we are different, you mm-hmm. know, because people eat cup of noodles.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, I think, but you know, I joke, Martin, when I say like my paintings are boring, because I think as artists we're all self-deprecating yeah. to some extent, right?
Yeah. I was literally just saying, oh man, I need some of that punishment over at Broadway, please. Someone tear me down. No one said anything mean to me in a couple years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you gotta start hanging around the homies. They'll get right. Man. Some dudes are like, hey man, yeah, but no, I'm kidding. We have a great group of of artists in our midst. Okay, so moving forward, because we only got a few minutes left. Figure drawing. You've been doing some life drawing lately,
yeah.
haven't you?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You want to talk about that?
Oh, for sure. I've been over at, I think it's called the Crow's Nest, right? That's what they're calling themselves.
I thought it was Paper Crane.
Paper Crane, thank you. The space is called the Crow's Nest. Thank you. Like I said, I'm terrible with names. But yeah.
Shout out to Danny DeMesa, who yeah. was gracious enough to grace us with a piece for the show.
Yeah. Shout out Danny. Danny and Angel and them, Jose. So they've been hosting these weekly drawing nights. They do like figure drawing some nights, and then just regular old come through, bring whatever you want to bring and draw night mm-hmm. sort of shit. And it's real cool, just because it's, I don't have my own like gallery space, but mm-hmm. it's really nice to surround yourself with other artists and then just be focused on mm-hmm. the figure drawing. And what, like I said, I used to go to Chico State. That was my thing. I was like running the drawing nights up in Chico for a couple years.
Mm.
So I was just like, I didn't get like the last year or so, I didn't really get to draw too much, because it's like, all right, got to make sure the model's there and make sure people are having a good time, have their materials and stuff. But it's, honestly, figure drawing nights are really awesome community activities for artists to get together and then just do their thing. It's like low pressure. You don't got to talk to nobody. You can throw in your earbud and mm-hmm. just do your thing. I'm awkward and antisocial sometimes, but it's cool because people just like at the end of like a 10-minute session, everyone's looking over each other's shoulders like, okay, yeah, nice. Good work. I like what you did there. Mm-hmm. All right, chill. Then there's like a little like silent rivalry as well. Like, okay, Danny brought it tonight. Let me step it up. Oh shit, I wasn't on my game. I need to practice through the week. So it's sort of like taking my vitamins.
Yeah, gotta go in the dojo.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. Get through that 36 chamber.
Right. But and also it, you know, and it's crazy because I've been wanting to make it over there, but it's just scheduling and timing yeah. and like, dude, it sucks because
there should be more than one.
It's just, I think once I'm gonna figure it out. Like, I feel like once I get through like February, I should be good. I'm just trying to like really go hard for these shows. But I think that it's important to have a community of strong artists. And I think that there's a community of strong artists over there who are helping to facilitate that need in the community, because there is no live, like there's no life drawing spot.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That's available to just whoever wants
like
to show
like the general
up.
Public, yeah. Because like from my understanding, every time I've heard about a life drawing thing, it's been associated with like a school or something, which is like, that's not bad.
You know what? Hold, they used to have those one joints. Remember the labyrinth or whatever? They used to have those.
Oh, I heard about that one. Yeah. I never went to those. I don't think I was in town there. Okay. Pretty good. Was it new drawing or was it clothed?
It was like they would start off clothed, but as it got later, they would get more naked.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing. All right. Chill.
Yeah.
So yeah, but honestly, we should have more of those, like, cause part of it is some people, I think, like that are like new to art, or like they're trying to get, like they're at those beginning stages and they're seeing people around them making really cool stuff and they want to get on that level, but then they feel intimidated because for whatever reason they put it in their head that it just happened like that. It just happened immediately, and they're not seeing the behind the scenes of, oh well, this person spent like 3 months, like 2-3 times a week, going to drawing nights, like drawing live people, making terrible drawings, but cranking through it, right? And trying to learn from those mistakes and doing it around others. And yeah, so that's, I think drawing nights are a great opportunity for people to just sort of see, hey, everyone has their off day, and you might have 5 really good drawings in a row, but then you're gonna have a bad one, and you need to know how to, like, you know, vault that into something better or learn from it, something, but not take it as, oh, I suck, I need to stop, I don't belong here, because that imposter syndrome is a killer. It really is.
I think it can be intimidating, and it also can be like refreshing too, because it's like, okay, this shit's no joke, like,
yeah,
you know, and
people are really trying here.
So it's a lot of times people don't want to work, right? So they think that art is one of those things, like one day you just get good, and it's like, no, that's not how it happens. I'm gonna start posting Martin all my like, not
all your
all,
bad stuff.
Yeah, a bunch of like old, just terrible portraits. Like just some of the like worst drawings ever.
Like I was doing it for a good minute. Like I couldn't make up my mind. So like my Instagram is looking really weird right now, because my most recent ones are finished commissions, right? Or finished projects that turned into sold works. And then right before that, there's a bunch of half-finished bad paintings. And it's like, the finished painting looks pretty good. But for a hot minute, I was like really just into posting my in-progress shit. And that's how I would like shame myself into finishing my work. It's like, oh, because someone, like I posted
that's
this. Let
real.
Me make sure. Yeah, like that was one way. And for a minute, this one didn't work because my wife wouldn't keep up on it, though. She's going to hear this and be like, I got you. But I would make a deal with my wife and be like, okay, I need to get X amount of paintings done. I need to get X amount of work done. I'm now officially giving you the permission to take my computer away. My tower, you can take it away. You can do whatever. You can hide it. You can sell it. If I don't get this work done by this day, it's all bets are off. Okay. So I did that once, and it worked out. Thankfully, it worked out. I got to keep my tablet, but the last couple times it hasn't been as effective, and she hasn't been on it, but baby, please don't take my tower.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the thing is you have to figure out what works for you, the schedule, you know, and maybe you need to just change the schedule up. And then, you know, like see, cause it's like, okay, well, these hours don't work, but like I'm juiced up right now, like in these particular hours. So like whenever I'm juiced up, then I just need to hit it and then just get in and get out.
Just go.
You know?
Yeah,
man.
And just recognizing like, hey, this is, I think scheduling, like treating it like a job, you know, cause like that's something I'll fall prey to, is sometimes I'll be like, okay, I got my paycheck job, right? I got my day job, and I got my passion job, which is like bringing money here and there. But it's like the thing I want to, like, my art is how I better myself, right? So if I make money off of it, dope, fantastic. But I'm also looking at it like, this is the thing that I've developed. This is the skill that I've gotten so good at. I want to remain good at it just for my own sake, for my own betterment, my own mental health, what have you. So like when I say I go to the drawing nights for my vitamins, mm-hmm. it's like legit, it's for my vitamins. If I'm dropping off, then it's like, shit, I'm not taking care of myself, right? Mm-hmm. but yeah, trying to treat my art as like a real job where you got to schedule shit and like think about it like this, I need to prioritize this, right? Because mm-hmm. real life stuff happens mm-hmm. and some people will be like, all right, put the art thing aside for now. You got other things to handle. But it's like, no, that's the time you really need to make sure you're prioritizing, because that's what tells you if this is the thing that you really do. I think you said it, or we were talking earlier. I forget if it was on the cast, but you're like, it's not the pencil, it's you, mm-hmm. right? So if you're dropped in the Netherlands, right, mm-hmm. are you going to be making work? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be trying to make connections? No, you don't know the language, but you know what a pencil looks like. You know what some paper looks like, right? Right, like you can right. make something happen. so, yeah.
That's hard. But, yeah, definitely. So, man, we got like 3 minutes, man. We got to wrap up. But what I do want to say to you before we end this episode, one thing to think about, and then, you know, we're going to give you some shots. But it's, I think, like, you know, having all of these shows booked, I started to freak out, but then I started to, like, break it down into, like, oh, well, like, if I do, like, this, if I draw, like, if this is my, like, pattern and I draw, like, this day, and I paint this day, mm-hmm. then, like, everything will be, I'll be making stuff in tandem. Like, there's this assembly line going on where it's, like, okay, like, put a sketch down for this. Okay, finish that paint. You know, finish that commission. Yeah. All right, boom. You know, it's like all my books are clear. No more commissions. Shout out to the pet portraits. So just get like a workflow, man, to where you kind of can, you know, either start things, finish them, and then you're looking forward. Like, okay, well,
the goal is working on your chops.
Yeah, Monday and Tuesday drawing. Wednesday and Thursday painting. Okay. Friday and Saturday is wifey.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? There you go. And then the first 4 days of the week, you've made it, and then that's it. You know what I'm saying? All right.
I can chill, or like mm-hmm. at least mentally I can chill, and like knowing that I was productive, I put in my time, mm-hmm. right? And it does, okay, yeah, yeah. I feel you, because yeah, part of that slog is like trying to find something mm-hmm. that's like conceptually it's got mm-hmm. some weight to it, to where you want to like put it to a museum or some shit. Yeah. But
So we're gonna continue this. It's we gotta wrap up because Fulton Street Coffee is about to close. But I'm gonna have Martin come back for a Patreon exclusive episode where we really get to the shits.
For sure.
So you have any shout outs you want to give before we wrap up?
Shout outs again to Paper Crane. Y'all doing good work over there. Shout out to you, James. Thanks mm-hmm. for this opportunity and your hustle, man. Appreciate what you bring to the community. And shouts out to our art students. You guys keep up, like keep it up, keep working, keep grinding. It's rough out there, but do.
Okay. And where can they catch you at on the web?
Ooh. So I'm on the Instagrams. My wife made me a TikTok. she runs that. but yeah, I'm on Instagram at end_in_eon. But yeah, just search Martin Townsend.
And we'll put all your links in the description.
Yeah, do the thing.
So you guys know what time it is. You could be anywhere on the internet, but you're here with us, and we appreciate that. Catch us again next week. Same BS time, same BS channel. Once again, this is some shit I just thought of y'all. Scientific fiction is not admissible in no court of law. I'm out of here like Vladimir. James Drills over and out. I told you from the dough. I told you from the get-go. You don't gotta go home, but you gotta go.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.